This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now we are joined by Dara O'Brien, Minister for Climate, Environment and Energy, and also Minister for Transport. Minister, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Shane. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Do you want to make a comment on that story about the that house in Mead and the decision to demolish it as a former housing minister?
Yeah, look, I know no one ever likes to see that, but I suppose we have a planning system and a planning process that people have to follow, and it's fair, it's open, it's transparent. And I suppose if there's a breach of planning and enforcement has been served and enforcement is upheld, it's the last thing that any planning authority wants to do. But we have to protect the integrity of the planning system. And whilst it certainly, can understand the human element of it, we can't have a situation whereby anyone could decide what they're going to build and where they're going to build it at whatever time without being outside of the planning process. So, and this has gone on for a sustained period of time, I think nearly 20 years, Shane.
Yeah, it's 20 years. Okay,
it's gone through those iterations. But look, that would be my view, is that planning law needs to be upheld. Simple as that.
Okay, you met with the Irish Road Haulage Association a little bit earlier. What did you offer them?
Well, look, I have a good relationship with the road hauliers, and I appreciate they came in and met me this morning. I did speak to them last week as well. They are a very important part of our economy, a very important part of our supply chain, and they are unquestionably suffering because of the very severe increases in fuel costs that we've seen because of the outbreak of what is effectively a war in the Middle East and the impact on fuel prices and fuel supplies. So I met them firstly to assure them that we will be bringing measures forward as part of a government package next Tuesday that we're still working on. And I want to hear directly from them as to what they believe would be the most impactful measures. I also explained to them whatever we bring forward has to be nimble and flexible, that it can't just be a one and done. And if I could make one political point, is like we debated this yesterday evening in the Dáil in relation to the main opposition party's proposals around this, that would have been a 20-cent fuel reduction on excise for a 6-month period. I think this situation is changing so quickly, it's very volatile, that whatever measures we bring in will have to remain under clear review and assess, so that we can pivot and change as we
need. Won't be for a fixed duration. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think I would imagine that that they'll be brought in, that will be impactful. I have got to have spoken to the Taoiseach and Taoiseach. We'll be meeting again tomorrow on that. There are other households, vulnerable households as well, that are at the cold face of this energy crisis as well. So I think we're looking at a package in that regard. But certainly, look, the RHA have always dealt with me in a constructive way, and I appreciate that.
Okay. They currently have access to a diesel rebate scheme. I think it's up to 7.5 cent per litre if it's in excess of 154 per litre, and it's well in excess of that at the moment. That would seem like an obvious thing to do, to increase that, because I think is diesel something or the other, it's over €2 at this stage. Is that an option that's on the table?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is an option. I think the original legislation for the diesel rebate scheme actually would have allowed up to 15% on that are so like that is an option. I think excise also is something that's being looked at as well in relation to excise on a short term basis as to what we could do to vary it downwards. Obviously, in this instance,
and does that include for the wider population as well? The cut in excise.
I don't want to be evasive and genuinely not, because these have not been bottomed out, and we'll be doing that between this evening, tomorrow, and over the weekend in advance, bringing a package to Cabinet. What I did reiterate as well, though, is that government's firm commitment to standing with and by the carbon tax, because the carbon tax is a real mechanism that we're able to actually protect families and businesses from price increases.
I think you've been quite clear on that.
But I was able to say that, and that was understood today. So, look,
excise duty looks a more obvious way of doing it. Are you saying no to energy credits as well, given your focus on targeting things?
Well, I think we have to be focused and we have to be targeted. So I don't expect that to be part of it, but that's notwithstanding the fact we're going to have further discussions over the weekend. But no, I think the measures have to be targeted, they have to be sustainable too, and they do have to be affordable in the overall context. No one knows, unfortunately, how long this crisis is going to endure. I had a very sobering presentation from the International Energy Agency with my own team, the National Energy Affordability Team, today here in the department, and particularly with the attack on gas infrastructure yesterday in Qatar, and indeed the other attack on Iran, that you're looking at destruction or near destruction of infrastructure that's critically important to the supply of gas across the world. So those type of things, you know, are now, in my view, and in the view that's been given to me by experts, will mean that, you know, this crisis will potentially endure longer than we would have. Then obviously none of us wanted this to happen. We wanted it to de-escalate, but already the damage has been done. There'll be a lag time for those effects being felt as well. So we've got to try to protect the consumer as best we can.
Just lastly on this, home heating oil, you've talked about the price of petrol and diesel. Home heating oil, is that something you're looking at in terms of reduced taxation as well, perhaps?
It is as well, and I have to do this in cooperation and conjunction with the Minister for Finance, the Taoiseach, and then deal with the Taoiseach. So the three of us have been obviously engaged in this in a detailed way. So they are the type of options that we're looking at. And again, you know, it's how we can soften the impact of these very severe price increases, but to keep them then under review as we move forward. And I think this whole crisis actually, again, speaks to the absolute necessity for us to continue to accelerate our transition to renewables, to energy.
We'll definitely get to that in a moment. Very finally, a decision signed off by Cabinet on Tuesday. Does that mean, can we expect a late sitting at all? Because I think this is something you can do quite quickly. For example, if it was to be a cut in excise duty, you could do that by some kind of instrument.
You do it by way of a financial resolution. And
financial resolution, thank you.
Yeah, that we bring to Cabinet next week will be implemented next week.
So you could technically have this done by Tuesday night.
You could. And obviously that depends on drafting and legal checks and all those various different things. But what I would say to your listeners and to those is that I think, to be fair, if you look at the last number of crises that we've dealt with, and God knows we've had many, from the outbreak of the war in Ukraine, before that COVID, like, we have always approached these things in a considered manner. And I think the supports that we've been able to bring forward over those two crises, even by any fair assessment, would say that they were a help, they were an assistance, they did work. And that's why we're right to take a little bit of time to make sure that whatever measures we bring forward are impactful, are deployed, and are affordable for the general public and for the exchequer too.
Okay. There's 132 buses remaining idle at the moment that don't need reduced excise petrol. They need electric chargers.
That's right.
And we don't have them. They're sitting there idle. That is a national embarrassment, isn't it?
It's not great, but this is, to be fair to my predecessor, that they accelerated the purchase of electric buses at the time, which made sense to do that.
Minister, do you know what it's like? It's like when you give your kid a present on Christmas Day and you forget to buy the batteries. And you're kicking yourself.
Well, it's not really that. I can understand what you'd say. Like, look, I think if I could be positive about this, first, a number of those buses will be we have over 80 electric buses in Dublin. The fleet is not alone, fully electrified. Limerick's fully electrified. So those buses are on the road. The ones that remain will be. And I would expect the vast majority of them to be on the road by quarter three this year, some of them as soon as next month. The reason for that was actually some of the charging infrastructure in a couple of the depots needed to be upgraded. And there was a lag between that and the other. And lessons will be learned from this, trust me.
Not kind of a basic? We're buying these new buses. Actually, do we have the charging infrastructure to charge them? We don't.
No, well, I think to be fair, look, I've published the National Charging Infrastructure Plan as well, and the charging infrastructure has improved across the country. But for buses and that, you need fast charging, and you need chargers with effectively more electrical power that they can charge them pretty much straight away. What I would say to you on this is that, like, we saw even last year a further significant increase in public transport use. Over 365 million public transport journeys.
No, I know that, and huge progress has been made. But how do you order buses without the charging infrastructure? That's unforgivable.
I think to be fair, there was an opportunity, particularly post COVID, where there was capital that needed to be deployed and used, and orders needed to be made to get additional buses into the system. That was done. So more were purchased, looking at a longer term deployment. It's taken longer than it should. I've actually been working on this in advance of this story being made of. I've spoken about this publicly before. I actually only met yesterday with many of the stakeholders around congestion in the country.
Well, I was going to ask you about that.
We are going to get these moving, Shane. And I get the point. Absolutely, I do. It's not something that should happen again. But thankfully, the infrastructure that's been put in place now and the additional infrastructure will ensure that this will not happen again.
Okay. You mentioned that forums, the forum of stakeholders on congestion. What came out of that meeting? Because you had been talking about bringing in some measures off the back of that, things like staggering refuge collection and so on, to try and ease traffic congestion. Anything solid come out of that yesterday?
Yeah, look, I chaired the meeting yesterday. It was to bring all the stakeholders, so from an Garda Síochána to our bus operators, trains, the TII, and all of the various different state bodies, our local authorities too, was to see, firstly, okay, we're doing this in the context of we're investing in infrastructure like we've never done before. There'll be big transformative projects like Metro, like Dart Plus, like Cork Commuter Rail, which is underway, like Cork Lewis and others, right? So that's actually happening at the moment. But what I wanted to see from our agencies is what things could we do now in the short term that might help to alleviate issues with congestion, particularly in the greater Dublin area, not exclusively, looking at that. So for argument's sake, what we have done now is we've effectively a list of things that we'll be working on, that they'll come back to me in advance of the summer to look to see how we can deploy that, like monitoring of bus lanes, bus lane uses. Yes, things like refuse collection times. Other things like that we might work on with regard to additional bus lanes, pinch points within the city cores, and not just in Dublin. Can we address them sooner for bus priority measures? Like, we are building the first two of the new quality bus corridors under Bus Connects. They're being done. They're going to take a couple of years to deliver. So what do we need to do in the meantime as car usage continues to increase, our population continues to grow? So what I'm looking for from our agencies is practical short-term measures. They're going to come back to me in advance of the summer. I'll convene that group again and look to see how we can accelerate. One good example, if I could say, it might be helpful for people, is park and ride facilities. So if I look at where park and ride facilities are planned for, let's say, Metrolink, so north of Soares, a big park and ride facility planned there, can we not do that sooner? And have that in place now? Can we look at expanding the park and ride at the Red Cow, for argument's sake? Can we look at improving park and ride in Cork, Minister, and Galway? Identifying those sites and moving forward with them.
I do want to ask you, just very finally, we had residents on the show yesterday near Dublin Airport saying they were shocked at the lifting of the cap, the cap on flights at Dublin Airport. They wanted assurances around reallocation and sound proofing. They said 20 million was a drop in the ocean. See, what is the time schedule? When are we looking at that cap finally being lifted?
Yeah, well, firstly, as you know, I live beside the airport. I've grown up there my whole life, rearing my family there. So I know the importance of the airport. And I also know there are communities and people who are affected who are living in close proximity to the airport. I've already instructed the DAA to come back to me with improved insulation scheme, voluntary purchase scheme needs to be improved as well, and we'll do that. There are people have, in a voluntary basis, sold homes and been able to relocate outside of the rural housing policy in Fingal and build elsewhere. It's a small number of houses. To answer your question, when the legislation right now is in front of the Oireachtas Committee for what's called pre-legislative scrutiny. Only today they've asked for some additional time on that, which means that it will come back to me toward the end of April, early May. And I intend to bring it into the House then very quickly after that.
With a view to it being signed into law by when?
Well, I have always said this year, it will be this year. And if I can do it sooner this year, I will. It's critical for connectivity for our country. We're an island nation. The airport is, Dublin Airport is responsible for about 3% of our GDP growth, underpins tens of thousands of jobs. And we're doing this while our other airports are growing. Cork is growing, Shannon is growing, Ireland West at Knock is growing too. But this needs to happen. This is a legacy issue that should have been dealt with through planning by previous administrations in the DAA. Unquestionably, it has been left. It's still there. We're going to protect the existing planning application that's there. That's with Fingal County Council. That's for the 40 million. But what this legislation will give is the ability to revoke, amend, and preclude future caps. And we have to do it. It's an imperative.
Minister, we do have to leave it there. Thank you indeed for talking to the Hard Shoulder. Minister Dara O'Brien there, Minister for Climate, Energy, Climate, Environment and Energy, and Minister for Transport.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.